Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So, my name's Mark. As Pastor Mel said, for those of you who don't know me, I am the other half of this amazing lady of God over there. And for some of you who are new, you may not have seen much of me up the front. A lot of what I do for work, a lot of what I do even in serving on sound, and that is quite often behind the scenes. So if you don't see me when I'm on sound, it knows that we're actually doing something right. You don't have to turn around and look at the sound guy. Isn't that right, Louis? Everyone turn around and say, thanks, Louis. God put me to the front of the stage. We're going to shine some light on them at the back. And Tegan as well. Sorry, Teagues, hiding behind the screens there. And I really do actually count it an honor and a privilege to be able to share a little bit this morning about what God's doing in me. It's always a bit of a challenging time when you're preparing for a message. It's like there's the pressure of doing it and fitting in that with everything else that's going on. But it's also the work that God does in you while you're preparing. And I really feel like this morning there's going to be something, hopefully, even if it's just for one of you, it's worth it, right? So apart from help leave this amazing local campus, which is, by the way, the best campus of Nations Church. Pastor Ken says it every time, so I take him at his word. I had about 27 years in the oil and gas industry, and now I've been full-time with Nations Church. It's going, I can't believe this, a year and a half since I actually started working as the Global Operations and Project Manager based primarily out of our Myrie campus. So essentially, I'm responsible for how our facilities are used, maintained, look at all projects like that little CapEx project up there that we're doing, multiply that by multiple campuses, new buildings. So if we're outgrown or we're in a rental, we're actually tasked with going out and trying to find and make it work to get a new premise or renovate ones that we already have to fit everyone in because God is moving. And who knows, like, I love vision season because vision is something that we're not focusing on what God's done. It's actually focusing on what God's going to do. And we've seen in January already, we've had some pretty amazing messages from Conan, from Crystal, from Eilish, all in-house amazing people that have shared God's heart. And last week, we had our own Pastor Mel share a message. And who knows what it was called? I'm in. So who was here for that? Yeah? You were here now. Can you remember what it was about? Title was the easy thing. I'm in. Just change an M to an N. I'm in. Yeah. Luckily, I couldn't remember what it was either. I'm sorry. I could. I got the gist of it. But I'm married to the person who preached, so I asked for her notes. So I got to study and revise what it was. But seriously, if you want to listen to any of our messages, get online, nationschurch.com, go into Port Kennedy. All of our messages are put up online. You won't go to the Spotify, they don't put the local messages on there, but if you go to the website, you can listen to all our local ones. So if you missed it, go in and listen to it. So Pastor Mel spoke on the idea of being fully invested into the vision of the church and how Jesus wants to use this to transform you and those around you. The importance of unity in the house, even when it's just so hard and inconvenient sometimes. And who can forget the raw chicken? So that picture up there. So the raw chicken, carefully chosen, lovingly had its legs tied together. That knot is impressive. Anointed with oil with a sprig of rosemary onto the side there. So, but who knows, if that chicken is left unbaked, uncooked, what's going to happen to it? You can't eat it. It's going to be thrown out, unused, uneaten, and it won't fulfill its purpose, right? So what was the purpose of the chicken? Is to be eaten. But you can't do that if you actually don't go through that process. You know, the good thing about this and the thing that was pretty cool is a couple of weeks ago, Mel and I spoke about this, and God was revealing something very similar on both of us for this message, for what we're going to bring. A little bit different, but still very much in alignment. And it's kind of like this, you know, like this chicken, we are selected and chosen for a purpose. Now, hopefully not to be anointed with oil and baked in an oven, and eaten. But we are selected and we're chosen for a purpose. Now, I want to share with you out of Jeremiah 29:11-14. And this scripture, even though it's from the Old Testament, it just shows God's heart towards his people. And you know what? Nothing's changed today. So it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." So in fact, last week when Pastor Mill preached on this, she actually talked about Peter going into the house of Cornelius, and the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ was now open to all the people, not just the people of Israel who Jeremiah was talking about in this scripture. So this applies to you and to me just as much as it did to the children of Israel. So thinking back on that though, like that scripture does, if you can put it back up on the screen, Tiggs, if it's gone, does the scripture sound like a God who only wants to punish you when you step out of line?
No.
Not at all. When you turn your back, when you walk away, when you ignore him, when you don't speak to him for 3 weeks. No, he's declaring that when we seek him in prayer, when we look for him, we will find him. So the problem is we have these moments where we've drawn into God. We may even get a sense and an idea of what his plans are for our life. Great words spoken and declared. Sometimes it could even be a prophetic word. But our flesh, our human nature can tend to drift us, pull us away, and we lose sight of what those plans are. We take our eyes off him. He never takes his eyes off us. It's actually us drifting away from him. So, you know, next week we're going to hear from Pastor Ken, our senior pastor, about the vision that God has revealed to him about the church, about Nations Church for 2025. But then how does that apply to you? How can you take that and connect it to the plans and purposes that he has for your life? This is what I wanted to speak with you today. I want to challenge you to not only this morning, but over the next 2 weeks as well, to focus on seeking and taking a hold of God's vision for you personally. So the title of my message is this, is Pursuing the Vision. Pursuing the Vision. You know, as some of you may know, you all know because I just said it, I worked in the oil and gas industry for 27 years. You know, the company that I worked for was this big global multinational American company, and they actually invested a lot of time and energy into developing their people throughout their careers. Right, from a field engineer, lots of training, through to how to interact with people, through to management training, and so on. And as your career developed, they actually invested a lot of time and effort into it because they understood the importance that people played in the success of their company. Now, probably about now 15 years ago, I remember we did a 2-week training course in Singapore. It's when I was moving into more of an Australian manager's role, so it was kind of designed at taking you to that next level. And while it was 15 years ago, I can remember, like, I actually dug out the notes and had a look, but the thing that I remembered before I'd even opened it was the importance that this course actually had on the role of vision in being an effective leader and how much that actually makes a difference in not only our own lives as leaders, but also the lives of those that we lead. And it's like that importance, it's basically being deliberate about creating, communicating, and executing that vision, keeping it to the forefront of both my and the team's minds so that we have a sense of purpose and meaning in going from where we are now to where we want to be in the future, right? And it made me think, if the world gets this principle, if the world understands how important this is from a business perspective, and I wonder sometimes why as Christians we actually don't see this as maybe such an important part of our lives. You know, who lately has thought about vision? What's God's plans and purposes for me? Maybe that's something that you think about all the time, but it's actually something that we need to keep actually aligning ourselves with and bringing ourselves back to. You know, we are created for purpose. We're not an accident. Your creation and your life, what God's put you on this earth for, it's not an accident. It's not just some random thing. So in Psalm 139, 13 to 14 and verse 17 as well, it says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So this morning, I want to look at how we can get back on track on this way of thinking. Revisit, review the vision that God has for us. Do we even know what this is? Have we thought about it? Have we even thought, oh, maybe I am here for a reason. What is it? Maybe we had it once and life just got in the way. We had a picture and then of what it is, and then our attention's been diverted and we're just going through the motions, so to speak. So to actually draw us back into this, I want to go to the book of Nehemiah this morning. You see, that scripture I read from Jeremiah early was like, it was almost a vision, it was a prophetic word for what God's heart was towards the people of Israel. And the Israelites were in exile. And so this account from Nehemiah is actually 150 years after what Jeremiah had written, right? And the Israelites had been in exile for all that time. And what had happened is Nehemiah was chosen by God and given great favor with the king. He was actually serving as a wine steward in the king Artaxerxes in his court at the time. He was Jewish, obviously. Hopefully that piece of the puzzle fits in well. He had an account from his brother that had actually been back to Jerusalem and to the land that they called home, the ancestors had called home. You think 150 years, you're like, you personally may not have been part of that, but your ancestors had called this home. And there was this account that they gave that actually said the people, the exiles who have returned to Jerusalem, found it in ruins. Like it's been destroyed and they just don't know what to do. They're living in shame, they're confused, they're not sure what's happening. And this actually really pulled on Nehemiah's heart. It says that he mourned for days and when he heard this account. And then it's like he was chosen by God and then he got this boldness and he actually went to Artaxerxes and asked to be allowed to go back and help rebuild his city, right? So that's the background to this. So what we're going to do is now look at only two verses in Nehemiah 2, but it's just such a powerful snapshot of how Nehemiah took what God wanted to do in and through him and the vision of not only putting it into motion, but then gathering those around to that. So, when you think about this, think about not just you, but your family, your workplace, if you're serving at church, the teams that you lead. How can I take this and actually put it into action? I want you to listen to this and what I'm going to share up there with those thoughts in mind. So we'll start off with Nehemiah 2, verse 17, and I'm just going to reveal bit by bit as we move along. So verse 17, it says, "But now I said to them," so this is Nehemiah, he's back in Jerusalem, he's actually talking to the people that are there, the leaders and all that stuff there, so he's gathered them together, and he said, "But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire." So the first part that he had to do by casting a vision is this: clearly state the problem, right? So the people of Jerusalem have been living amongst the rubble for so long. They need an outside perspective that maybe they weren't living in the best circumstances, and someone actually needed to come in and point that out. And sometimes you don't want to hear that, but it needs to be said, right? How many times have we been in a situation or going a certain way and it actually takes someone that we trust and we know to actually say something to us, and it's like, oh, wow, I didn't think there was a problem, but actually, you know what? There actually is, if I'm honest. So it could be someone, another person. For us now, at the time, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit actually bringing some prompting in us that maybe there's a problem, right? So step number one is clearly state the problem. And then we move on to the next part. It says, so you know very well the trouble we're in, Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So now Nehemiah moves on from stating the problem to proposing a solution, right? We don't want to stay in that stagnant pose of focusing on the problem too long. We actually want to understand and realize what the issue is, but then we actually need to start moving into action. So if you're leading your family or teams, yes, we understand a problem. We understand something that's happened, something that's not good, but then what are we going to do about it, right? What can we do about it? So this is the next part of getting that vision out there is propose a solution, right? So clearly state the problem, propose a solution. So let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem was his solution. So I was thinking about this as well, like in church, like we've been around church, and I'm sure a lot of you have been around for a while. A common thing that we have is, I feel like I've grown distant from God and I can't hear him speak to me. Problem. It is a problem, by the way, because he wants to speak to you. The solution is often, though, that we actually need to spend more time in the Word and being deliberate about praying and growing our relationship with him, right? So there is a solution. But if you just keep going along, it's easier to grow distant and distant and distant without actually realizing there's a problem. So we move into number three. You all with me still? Yep. Awesome. I'm a very logical, put out person. You probably, that's why I'm in operations. takes all sorts, right, Moira? I'm trying to figure out what part of the body I am. Nehemiah 2:17, and it says the next part. So we've got, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. All right? And end this disgrace. What's he trying to do here? Building a connection. There's an emotional connection. Disgrace, shame. It's all attached to the problem. It's like this solution will actually do something. It will end the disgrace. So it's like, why should we care? Why should I jump on and do something about this? Well, you have to make that emotional connection to something. The why. Why should we do it? Why should we bother? So here he's trying to say, well, if we do this, then we are going to end the shame and disgrace that you're feeling by living like this, because Jerusalem is in such a bad way. So that's the three things. Fourth thing. So we have that, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then in verse 18, it says, then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. So the last element to this is share an element of hope. The inspiration. He shared what God had already done in the lead up to this. He gave them hope that what God was doing was actually preparing the way he was in this, and gave them hope and faith that he could actually do what Nehemiah is proposing to do, right? So he doesn't just say, let's do it, because they could say, hey, look, God's not on this. We've got all these enemies around. It's a bad idea. No, look what God's already done to get us to this point, and he's faithful and he's actually going to keep us going. So how many times, though, has God done these amazing things in our lives, right? And we just forget about it. You know, as a human race, we're very good at what's he done for me lately? What's next? We are very easy to forget the things that he's already done in our lives, so we can grow complacent. So sometimes it's actually bringing it back to, hey, if he did this in my life before, he can do it again. Right? It's actually that builds that faith. I stand on the truth, knowing that I reached out to him and he got me through this. So why would I think it's going to be any different in this circumstance? It's that hope. Now, if you don't have that for yourself, find someone who's actually going to share with you. That's our power of our testimony, is to actually share that with people who need to hear it. They need to have their faith stirred up. They need that hope so they can take hold of the more that God has for them, that it's going to be okay. He is faithful and he will see it through. So if we put those four elements up there, so I've taken you through them, clearly state the problem, the what, propose a solution, the how, make an emotional connection, the why, share an element of hope, the inspiration, right? And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, what could I share, you know, an example, like it's all well and good for me to come up here and say that, but have I actually had to go through it? And it takes me back to, and I can't believe this is 5 years ago already, the beginning, just before COVID, right? COVID, for some, may be a long distant dark memory, but that's 5 years ago now in March that started. My mom had actually just passed away. She passed away in February, whole other story in itself, but the fact that I was actually able to go back and have her memorial and funeral when a week later all the lockdowns happened was a blessing in itself. But I remember going through all this stuff. You know, she was a very talented woman. She was a doctor. She was a very accomplished pipe organist. Used to do performances in all these big places around Australia. And I remember as a family, we were going through all her possessions, trying to, as you do afterwards, sort out things, because my dad really couldn't do it. He wasn't up to doing it. And I remember going through them all, and to be honest, and this might sound a bit harsh, most of them we actually threw away or donated. You know, she was 84. There wasn't a lot of need for that. Like the organ we had, no one actually wanted to buy it, so we donated it to a music school. A lot of things. We kept a few keepsakes, but most of it either ended up donated to Good Sammy's or to somewhere else or sold or even just thrown out, right? So it was important to her and it had value, but it just gave me some perspective that why it has value to her, to us, once we're gone, what we have doesn't really matter to anyone else, right? Stuff doesn't matter. And it just gave me that shift in perspective that while we're here on earth, as long as each one of us have, what is it that we're doing with our lives? Because the stuff we buy, the stuff we do, it doesn't actually really matter in the end. You know, if we actually are we pursuing things of this world, or are we using our gifts and talents, resources to help spread the good news and see more people added to eternity? And this was the point that God had brought me to, right? And to be honest, thinking back, I was just cruising along. Like, yes, Mel and I, and it might sound hard to say this because we're leading the church and things were good, but I was being comfortable. I was in a very well-paying job, quite secure. In the natural, things were actually going really well. And I think I'd grown quite complacent to the work that God actually wanted to do both in me and through me. So I had a choice to make. Either I ignore it. Who's done that? I've done that. God, really? No. Okay, someone else. Ignore it and keep going. It's almost like treading water. I'll come back to it later. I'll get onto that. Yeah, God, good one. Maybe you'll forget if I just ignore it for a while. Or realize that this is a problem and decide to make a change. I remember I was wrestling with God on this for probably a good 6 months. Like, it takes me a while to get, you know, moving. Stubborn German in me, probably. But I remember wrestling with him, and he just brought me back to this thing where over the last 20 years, where every time and there's numerous times when I thought about it, every time I trusted him with something, every time I actually went to him purposefully and asked him to lead me and guide me in important decisions and things in our family, in work and everywhere else, he was faithful. He actually, you know, it may not have worked out how I'd asked for it, but it worked out exactly how it needed to work out. And in hindsight, I can go back and actually see, wow, God, I saw what you did there. And it's amazing. I wouldn't have thought of that, but you did. And it's worked out even better than I thought. And so I think, well, if God has done that before, why is this any different? Yep. And hear me in this. 27 years in there and being very comfortable, that is not an easy decision to come to. So I had to really be sure that this was God in it. But once I'd made that decision, and that was set, the rest was going about what it looked like, right? I gave my work 1 year's notice, 1 year. So God is a God of and suddenly, but he's also a God that works through respect, honor, authority, all that sort of stuff as well, right? I gave him 1 year's notice of knowing what was next. I didn't actually know what precise, I didn't know I was going to work for Nations Church. I didn't know what was next, but I knew that whatever it was using what he had given me to grow the kingdom so more people would know Jesus for eternity, right? That to me is the why, more people to know Jesus in eternity. And in all honesty, that's what matters, right? This, we want to be comfortable, we want to live a fruitful life, but this is a drop in the ocean to what eternity with him looks like. That's the end goal, eternity with God, with Jesus. So when I think about it, I had, and thinking back to those elements, I had most of the four elements, but the how was being revealed step by step in faith. But it doesn't mean that you need to know the whole picture of the how. You just keep pushing into him and he keeps bringing you along, trust, faith, knowing that he's going to do it. So fast forward, now working for the church, helping it grow, expand, finding new premises, hopefully, if I do it well, for people to come and find Jesus and have community unified by him. It doesn't mean it's always easy, right? There'll be times when it might seem that I want to go back or you want to go back to how it was, what's comfortable. But I seriously think this, and when I was thinking about it, we are called, and I have to keep saying this to myself sometimes when I'm going through OH&S stuff, we are called to persist in the vision and purpose God has for our lives, to build strength of character, to be overcomers, right? That's what he wants to do in us. Now, bringing this back to the church, We're all part of the church. The church is made up of you, me, us, everything. You know, we are part of a kingdom, right? We have free will, absolutely. But there is a hierarchy at play in the kingdom, right? It's not a democracy. We can't vote God out at the next election, right? It's a kingdom. So if that's a new thought to you, grasp that one. It's not a democracy. So the overarching vision from the church flows from the throne of God through Jesus and our work through the Holy Spirit. So the vision given to Pastor Ken for Nations Church comes from this place, the throne room, right? Comes from God. And while I'm planted here, while we're planted here at Nations Church, it's an overarching vision for me, for my family, right? But the beauty of this is that God's specific vision for me, the vision for my plant family and how that fits in, actually comes from the same place, comes from the throne of God, through the Holy Spirit directly to me. But hear me in this, it comes from the same place, right? So it might be outworked in a different way or in a different context, but it won't be counter to what is happening in God's house because it comes from the same source. It's why the next few weeks are so important for all of us here at Nations Church. If we don't hear the heart of God for Nations Church, how do we expect to outwork and flourish God's vision for us as we outwork our part in what he's doing in the church? So you might think, why is this so important? Well, I went to a pretty big example here, and hopefully you're going to be able to stay with me on this. Remember, if we go back, God had a plan when he sent Jesus, his son, to earth to redeem mankind, to redeem everyone who lives here, right? With me? So Jesus understood the vision. He knew his part. And we see time and again him telling and communicating the vision to his disciples, right? And thinking on this, I think they knew the what, i.e. the need for mankind or Jews at the time to be saved. I think they knew the why. You know, they lived it. They understood the why this had to happen. And they were definitely inspired by Jesus, by all the miracles that he performed that gave them hope that he could actually do what he needed to do. They even knew he was the Messiah. But where I think it got muddled was in the how, right? Israel was expecting the Messiah, someone coming to liberate the Jews from their Roman captors. You see, I think that they may have been focused too much on how they thought Jesus was going to fulfill the prophecy. And even though Jesus said time and time again how it's actually going to happen, I actually thought you can read it in multiple accounts. They didn't get it. They still had this view of their own thoughts of how this was going to work. So their own thoughts on it, but not so much on the Father's vision, the overarching vision and the integral part that Jesus played in fulfilling this. So the scripture slide that I'm going to share is from Matthew 16. It's 15 and 16 to start with. This is Jesus talking with disciples. Who do people say I am? Some say you're this, some say you're that. And then he asked them, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They knew who he was. Then Jesus, like, awesome, big tick, Peter, you're gonna be the rock that I build my church in, the gates of hell, they're not gonna prevail. You know, Peter's destiny, what he's gonna do to do that. Fast forward, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly, right? Even says it, tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Then Jesus turned to Peter, who he's just literally praised and said, you are the star student. Get away from me, Satan. You are dangerous. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. The how, right? He had this view in the natural, in his human perspective, of how the Messiah was going to fulfill God's plan, right? He hadn't, you know, remember the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. He lived and did everything with Jesus for a couple of years, yet he still didn't get that because he didn't have the living, breathing God, Holy Spirit, actually prompting him and guiding him and revealing the plan of the Father. He saw things the way he wanted to see things, right? So they looked at it through their flawed earthly view, how he should think it was looked. And you think about it, like after Jesus died on the cross and he was put in the tomb, there are a few different accounts of what happened. But essentially, it comes across that the followers of him had the demeanor of those that had been defeated. They'd suffered a great loss because from a human perspective, they still didn't get it. Our Messiah, who was going to deliver us from the Roman captors, is dead in a tomb. That's my reality. I didn't get it. I haven't actually caught the vision of God of how this needs to happen. It was said to me, but I didn't actually get it. Because you got to remember, Jesus hadn't yet risen, right? He hadn't ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost hadn't been poured out on all people. So he was relying on his flesh to read the situation. So if this is the case for them who spend so much time, then how true and applicable is it for us? If we don't understand the vision that God has for Nations Church and are not filled and led by the Holy Spirit, it will always fall back onto our own human point of view and flesh to try and outwork the created purpose and how that works for the greater vision for the church. Big mouthful there, right? But it's like, if we don't get this, how can we perform our part if we're not actually tapped into the same source, if we're not being led by the same Spirit, right? Because if we don't, we're going to struggle. We will. There'll be, might be okay for a while, we'll go along with it, but then disunity, I don't agree with that. I can't see that. God's not speaking to me on that, or I don't feel that. And the enemy, this is why I think when Jesus said this, he says, get away from me, Satan. He's not calling Peter. He's recognizing Satan's creeping into this, right? Satan's actually coming in and trying to lay a trap that he's going to try and pull things into the flesh, into the earthly view, not from what God is trying to work in this situation, right? So he's recognized it and he's actually called it out. And I think what happens is sometimes we don't, when things get hard, we don't push into God of what are you trying to do in this and what's your heart for this. It's what do I want to see what's happened, or I don't agree with that. I want this to happen and it's not. And then disunity, suddenly you start, the things start creeping in and so you get separated from the vision that God has for the house, right? So this is where I think Jesus understood this. He spent all this time talking to the disciples about what was to happen. He would have known they still don't get it. But he knew what they needed. He knew that when he went, that he actually couldn't leave them alone as orphans. He knew that he couldn't leave them to their own devices because, in all honesty, he knew what was going to happen. So he had the plan. This was the other part of the plan, which was to send the Holy Spirit, right? So if the band can come up and join me, that would be awesome. But we read this in John 16, verse 7 and verse 13 in the Amplified Version. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future." Plans and purposes for your life. Who better to hear it from than the person who created you, right? God knew that this is what we need, because if we don't, if we rely on our human perspective and our flesh, he knows what happens. He understands you could have the most amazing calling. It's like the chicken. If you don't, you could be the most anointed, juicy, delicious chicken. But if you don't go through and actually go through the process that God wants to do and take you through, the chicken's like, no, don't cook me. Don't cut my head off for a start, but don't cook me, right? But if you don't go through that, then you'll never outwork what God intended you to do. And it's the same here. If you don't actually go in and seek God's, what his heart is for you, what his heart is for your life, then you're never going to be what he created you to be, right? So he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us on all things. The creator of the world wants to direct you where you are going. He wants to lead you into the more he has for you, and it will be a step in step with where he is also leading his church. You know, we can't fulfill the plans and purposes of our lives without seeking him first. being led by the Holy Spirit and feeding on the Word of God. If we don't continually do this in the flesh, that human perspective has a way of creeping in and keeping us from fulfilling His vision for us, that path for us. So this morning, after all of that, it's really a chance for us to be deliberate about pursuing and taking a hold of what He has in store for us. What does He have in store for our families, our workplaces? And if you don't have it, if you're single in here, what does He have in store for you, for your partner, for your children, for your next generation? We sung about that. Where, you know, are you actually pursuing Him for that? Are you going in, God, what do you have for me? For if you're studying, if you're a student, what does He have in term for your career, for what He wants to do? Where's your place in this all? You need to be seeking and looking for Him. He'll bring about people that will give you wisdom, give you counsel, give you all that thing that are going to be in alignment with Him. But first, we actually need to take a hold of what He has in store for us from Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.